All right, take your Bible tonight, if you will. Let's go to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 7. And I'm going to just go ahead and admit to you right up front, I'm going to do what I always try to warn the fellows that I teach in homiletics not to do. We're going to read some scripture and then depart from it. And but it will be the sounding board to get us going, all right? So, we'll try to do that, and don't normally do this, but Romans chapter 7, verse 1, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." I've been praying about it and thinking about this message for a lot of days and thinking, Lord, you know, how do you want me to deal with the subject here? And I know the context and of the verses and those things, and but I've tried to figure out, man, how do I want to deal with it? Because you know, there's truth of the matter is, some of you folks here have been divorced, some of you have married again since that time. There's not a thing in the world we can do. We don't want to go back. It's too late to go back and try to change anything. What's done is done. It's in the past. And by the way, I believe God can forgive where forgiveness is needed. I believe He can heal where healing is needed. And I'm in agreement with the Word of God. Don't ever doubt that by any stretch of the imagination. I believe marriage was designed by God to last for a lifetime. I believe in that one woman for one man for a lifetime. I believe the divorce is wrong. It's very hurtful. But the truth of the matter is, you folks that are here, if you've gone through it, you know more about that than I do. You know the pain, you know that's there. But what I'd like to do tonight is take and try to have some help for the future. I believe divorce is a disaster. And in preaching tonight, I hope to help folks that are married and those who will one day be married, all right? As I say, divorce, what I want to preach, the title is Dealing with the Disaster of Divorce. And what I want to preach is divorce is a disaster, but maybe more so, I think divorce is the revelation of a disaster. You say, what do you mean? Well, stay with me, all right? Just a few simple things, some practical things that I hope will be a help. Divorce, first of all, is a disaster, I believe, in praying. Go with me to Romans chapter 4. Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. I just want you to look at one verse here with me tonight. Philippians chapter 4. Would you look down there with me at verse 6, all right? Philippians 4, verse 6. A familiar verse where the Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Hey, listen, the truth of the matter is, it's we're to pray about everything. That verse says, in everything by prayer, let your requests be made known to God. We're to let God know what we need. We're to pray about everything. I think it's John R. Rice that's given the credit or credited with saying, all of our failures are prayer failures. We fail to pray. We don't pray enough, all right? And if there's one thing that dead sure ought to be prayed about, it's marriage. Yes, marriage is something that ought to be bathed in prayer. You ought to pray before you meet the prospect that you might marry. You ought to pray after you've met them. You ought to pray while you date. You ought to pray before you ask or before you answer, all right? You ought to pray during the engagement, and you dead sure ought to pray during the marriage, all right? Prayer is something that ought to be offered up continually, and the subject is that marriage. It ought to be prayed about. Good grief. We ought to just bathe that marriage in prayer. It's not something that you ought to just, you know, I've accused people before of deciding who they're going to marry, and they're praying about marriage is, Lord, this is the one I picked. It's okay, isn't it? Well, that's not the prayer I'm talking about. Well, we ought to pray about it. You ought to pray about marriage before you're even thinking about getting married. I believe that. I mean, yeah, we ought to pray about it and seek God's will and let the Lord know, hey, I'm praying, I'm seeking your face, and while you're dating, there ought to be prayer. There ought to be prayer. I was talking to Brother Mahaney this week, and I'm really not sure how we got on the subject, all right? But we were talking about, I said, you know, I don't know how many girls when I was younger I dated. I said, there's one I remember dating a few times, but I can't even remember her name. And that's nothing wrong with her. That was my fault, all right? But I didn't, you know. But, I was conscious when I was dating. And, Lord, you know, is this the right one? Is this the person for me? And praying before I ask my wife, Lord, you know, hey, you ladies, or if it's on the other foot, you know, I don't know. Nowadays, I'm not sure who's doing the asking a lot of times, but, there ought to be some prayer offered up. It ought to be, Lord, you know, hey, before you say yes to that proposal, you should have prayed. You should have prayed. You said, preacher, you're preaching this now. It's too late. I've been married 27 years. That's all right. I'm trying to help people coming, all right? And I'm trying to help along that line. You ought to pray about it. You ought to pray. After you get married, you ought to pray. Don't quit praying. Don't quit praying. You didn't quit saying to your spouse after you got married, you didn't quit saying, I love you, did you? You better keep saying that, because sometimes they're not going to believe it. You have to remind them, all right? By the same token, we ought to keep praying about our marriage. Lord, keep our marriage in the center of your will. Just keep it there. Help us to say that, all right? I found a lot of people pray about the spouse they want, but they don't pray much about the spouse they're going to be. Our prayer is always directed, Lord, you send me the one I want, you know, and this is what I'm looking for, you know. We lay out the requirements, and this is what I want, Lord, and I'm praying, help me to find that. But how much do you pray? How much did you pray before you got married about the kind of spouse you were going to be? That's why maybe some of you went through some rough times, all right? It was a little rough because you didn't pray, Lord, fix me. You just said, fix the one that I'm going to get, all right? And we did do it. Hey, there's a disaster in praying. A disaster in praying. But not only that, I believe there's a disaster in picking. There's a disaster in picking. How in the world do people choose the person they're going to marry? I've always said it, never marry outside the will of God. Never. Hey, if you're not in the will of God, don't get married. Don't get married. I've known a lot of people, they were saved, but they were outside of the will of God when they got married. Man, did they have problems. Just multitude of problems. Don't do that, all right? We have a disaster in the picking. We pick when we're outside the will of God, the one we're going to marry. Most likely, we're going to pick the wrong person. We're going to pick the wrong person. I've said it multitude of times. There's no way in the world you ought to always be planning to marry a Christian. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, the Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. No way in the world you ought to consider. I've always, when I was in dating as a young person, I never dated anybody I couldn't have married. Now, what do you mean by that? I mean everybody I dated was Christian. They were saved. Never dated. I wouldn't consider dating somebody who was not a Christian because you run into that problem, all right? And there's a disaster in picking. We don't use a lot of wisdom. Go with me over to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, if you will. Notice what the Word of God says. Proverbs chapter 11, down in verse 14. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14, the Bible says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, There's safety. There's safety. Tell you what, if you're going to come up and you're going to think about getting married, and there ought to be some godly counsel. You ought to seek some counsel from somebody. Hey, you ought to seek some counsel from somebody that's been a success at it. Don't go to Oprah Winfrey to ask about marriage advice. First of all, the woman's never been married, all right? What a mistake that would be. It would also, if she was still alive, it'd be a mistake to go to Zsa Zsa Gabor, all right? Because she was married at least a half a dozen times, all right? Obviously, these folks don't know anything. I always kind of get tickled when I look at the rags at the store, you know, those magazines that are there, and it'll talk about, you know, some stars in love, and or they're giving marriage advice. I'm thinking, what a joke. What a joke. First of all, they don't know anything about love, and they've been married three or four times, and what in the world would they possibly know except what not to do? That's the only thing they're an authority on is what not to do. Hey, go to some godly counsel. Oh, seek that godly counsel. Hey, by the way, if you're married and there's problems, seek some godly counsel. Seek some God. Don't just think, well, the thing to do is bail out. No. Seek some godly counsel. But boy, I want to say this to you. The worst thing is I see people, normally when people come to the preacher, it is at a major breaking point. Man, the problems are huge. They've grown almost insurmountable. And it comes, this is sort of the last resort. Here we are, preacher, solve this for me. Well, would you have come just a tiny bit earlier? That would have been a help, you know? I've found through the years in our Christian school, it's a lot easier to deal with little problems than it is to deal with all those little problems grouped together until you've got a massive problem. Don't let it happen that way. Go look for some counsel. Seek that. Hey, man, it's a disaster in the picking process. We go along and we pick somebody. We pick and it's our choice, but we don't consider what God's choice would be. What a mistake. Truth of the matter is today most picking or most choosing when it comes to marriage is based on the flesh. It's based on how you look. How you look. Looks. That's the one thing that's almost guaranteed to change. Almost guaranteed to change. You folks here, some have been married for years, looking at the old pictures, looking at your wedding picture. Do you look the same now that you did then? I've looked at some wedding pictures, some people I knew, and I could barely recognize the person that I knew, you know. Are you sure that's you, you know? Hey, the one thing's guaranteed to change is the way we look. It's guaranteed to change. That wonderful head of hair can depart, fellas. You know, you guys, we can lose it. We can lose it. It just disappears, you know. And all of our best efforts, it'll still be gone, you know. And we just go on and on. Everything that's there, it's gone. It changes, all right? It changes. Boy, what a mistake to base our choice on the way things look. Flesh is so paramount today. Hey, a lot of divorce happens because there's a disaster in the picking process. We didn't consult God. Listen, I'm talking about people that are saved. We didn't consult God. We need to be so careful about that. Not only is there a disaster in picking, all right, and a disaster in praying, but there's disaster in preparation. They made preparation for marriage. How much did you make? First thing I would say is don't rush into marriage. Now, those of you who know me and know my wife and I's story, you're going, well, you're a good one to say that. We were engaged almost a month before we got married. But we had dated for 4 years. There had been some time, all right, in preparation. There had been some time out there. A lot of people, they rush into marriage. They might have made a success. They wound up divorced, but they might have made a success if it had just waited a little bit. Wait just a little bit. We have a tendency to think, man, it's something that's just got to be done right now. Man, we're so much in love that we just absolutely cannot wait. We've got to get married right now. Hey, be careful. You need to develop. Say, why are you saying wait? Well, you need to develop some maturity before you marry. You need to develop some maturity before you get married. There needs to be some time. You need to spend some time. If all you're doing is just looking forward to what you're going to get out of the marriage, guaranteed you're not mature. You're not mature. I see folks today that I look at and I think about many of them. Their maturity level, hey, they're not mature when they're 25. Amen. Some of them aren't mature at 30. And they're just not ready to do what you have to do, because marriage is an undertaking that's serious business, all right? It is extremely serious business, and we make a disaster out of it because there's no preparation made for marriage. There's no preparation made, and we haven't. Hey, you need to prepare yourself mentally and emotionally for marriage. You need to do that. Things are going to change. Oh, no, we're so wonderfully suited. We've never argued. You will. You will. Just wait. It'll come. It'll come. There'll be an argument. You might think the ones that amaze me are the ones that have fought and fussed as they've dated all along, and then they think we'll get married and everything's smooth out. Man, you're nuts. You're just crazy. It's not going to smooth out, all right? And a lot of that comes about, why? Well, there's no preparation. We don't really prepare ourselves for it. Hey, there's a disaster in preparation. There's a disaster in planning. So what do you mean? What should you plan for? Take your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We need to realize this one thing we ought to plan for. If you're getting married, if you don't plan for anything else, you need to plan for this. Because the Bible tells you it's coming, all right? The Bible tells you it's coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, look, if you will, verse 28. Notice what the Bible says. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. Hey, you know what you need to plan for? Trouble. There's going to be trouble. I mean, you just count on it. Everything's going along well, you know, wonderful. Boy, the dating's been marvelous. You get married, the honeymoon is wonderful. Come home and somebody gets sick. You weren't ready for that. You weren't ready for that. You come home and you find out now living together, you're not as compatible as you thought you were. I mean, the things that the other one does, you go, wow, I didn't know you were like that. Well, they are. They're like that. You know, we used to joke to my wife and I, we argued about the toothpaste tube, all right? Nowadays, the way they make toothpaste tubes, it doesn't matter. But in those days, it did. And we'd argue. She'd squeeze in the middle. She'd grab and just squeeze. I said, what is wrong with you, woman? You squeeze from the bottom, okay? Squeeze from the bottom. She said, how'd y'all settle it? She had hers and I had mine. And we just settled it that way, you know. And then she'd run out. Next thing I know, she's squeezing my tube in the middle again, all right? So what can you know? You can plan on it. It's going to be trouble, all right? It's going to be trouble. Now, we laugh about those things, but I don't tell you what. A lot of people have problems because of little things. Little things. And they have trouble because of why? Because we don't plan for it. We don't plan for it. We think, you know, we've watched too many television shows and too many TV movies and all that where they lived happily ever after. But we don't see the rest of it. We don't see that. We don't see what goes on those other times. Hey, you need to have some planning. Yeah, there's a divorce of there's disaster in divorce because there was a failure to plan anything. There was no planning that went on. They didn't plan to have trouble. Hey, by the way, they didn't plan to do without. Didn't plan to do without. You ever notice how many people, boy, they get married and here they are, they're coming out of a home. Their parents have been married 25, 30 years. They coming out of a home where there's a nice home, two cars, and all of that. They come out of that and they think, well, that's the way it's going to be for us. That's the way it's going to be for us. Well, not really. Probably not. You're just getting going in life. Where you move into? We moved into an apartment, a dinky little apartment. And, it was a change. It was a change. Upstairs apartment. Had to park around there, and if it's raining, you had to run through the rain to get around the building to go upstairs to get in the apartment. Aggravating thing was doing laundry. Had to haul the laundry to the laundromat. I mean, it was there, you know, right? I hadn't thought about it before. I didn't think about what we're going to have to do without that. We had to do without things. I remember we were shopping, and I've got a feeling some of you folks, you know what these days were like. Well, what we bought to eat was what was on sale. And said, well, it looks like this week, this is what we're having. We'd look at the sale papers, you know, because that's what's on sale. That's what we'll eat. And it was just that. But we don't plan to do without. And people have problems. Why? Because they didn't plan to do without. They planned to have everything they ever wanted right now. Well, you can't have everything you ever wanted right now. You just can't do that. It's not going to happen. A lot of people, they get married, they don't plan to do without, so they begin to spend, and they spend more than they make. You get into problems. Every time I sit down with people to talk to them and counsel them about marriage, one thing we talk about is finances. I look them in the eye and say, can y'all live off what you're making? Can you live off of what you're making? Because it's not going to suddenly swell once you get married, all right? And there's going to be expenses you hadn't thought about. That car's running great until you get married. Then that stupid thing starts acting up. And you have one flat tire after another. And the alternator quits. The radiator develops a leak. And I mean, it's one thing after another. You hadn't planned on that. We didn't plan to do without things. People buy the stuff they don't need. They buy stuff they can't afford. And then they begin to argue over money because we got money problems. There's not enough to go around. Hey, we fail. Disaster in planning. Disaster in planning. We don't think our way through that. We don't do it. A disaster. Hey, folks, these are things that happen. People wind up divorced. Why? They didn't plan. They didn't prepare. They didn't do that. Their picking was really messed up. Their praying was non-existent. Amen. They didn't do those kind of things. Hey, listen, folks. These are problems that come up and people have to deal with them. And there's a disaster and a priority. Listen, when you get married, marriage is your priority. Marriage is your priority, not you anymore. See, the problem is, most of us, when we get married, our priority's been us. Now, especially if you're like me, I've often said, I didn't get married till I was 27. Took me a long time to talk her into it, all right? And took me a long time to find somebody that would take me on as a project, all right? And, by that time, I was used to thinking of me. I wasn't thinking of us. I was thinking of me. And that's the way most people are. Hey, most people are that way by the time they're 7. Amen. Not even 17 now, all right, but 7. And that's their priority. But when you get married, the priority is no longer you. The priority is your marriage. The priority ought to become your marriage. Your marriage has priority over your friends, over your family, over your hobbies. Hey, it's got the priority. And if it's the priority, then you've got to put in the work to make it work. You got to put in the work to make it work. It doesn't accidentally happen. It doesn't accidentally just smooth out and everything's good. No, that marriage has got to become your priority, and you've got to decide, I will work at it and I will stay at it because it's got the priority. Listen, once you are married, it becomes a priority to stay married. I believe that. Stay married, all right? I've heard guys say, man, we never considered divorce. Never. Murder a time or two, but never divorce. Well, hey, we ought not to consider either one of them, all right? It becomes our priority. People are married. Saddest thing in the world to me is see people that have been married, man, sometimes 30, 35 years, then they divorce. Good grief. Hey, let that marriage be the priority, all right? Let that marriage be the priority. Don't let it come apart. Some people wind up divorcing after all their kids are grown and they all leave home. And the only ones they're left with is just each other. And they look at one another and say, I'm tired of you. And they divorce. No reason to do it. You ought to stick it out. You ought to make that the priority. Make that thing work. Put everything into it you can. And I'll say this to you. I believe with all my heart, the one priority that ought to be true in every marriage for God's people is serving God together ought to be a priority in that marriage. Look at Matthew chapter 6. We talk about this verse a lot. We read it. It gets preached from a lot. But I think it applies here, and oftentimes maybe it doesn't get applied in this situation. But in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 33, the Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Hey, we ought to put God first. We ought to seek him first. That ought to be a priority of a husband and wife to seek to serve the Lord together. We're serving him together. My wife and I said we had a long engagement, almost a month. I asked her to marry me on April the 26th. We got married on May the 23rd. Just almost 3 days short of being a whole month, all right? Now we had dated for 4 years, all right? We had dated for 4 years. But probably 90% of the people in the church didn't know we were dating. Because I meant to ask her before church tonight, and I forgot to do it. We almost never sat together in church. We didn't. All right? She didn't want anybody to know I liked her, or she liked me. No, that wasn't it. We were both busy. We were both involved in the work of the Lord in the local church. We were both very involved in everything that's going on. We didn't sit together in church. People didn't know it. They didn't know that we were even dating, even thinking about getting married. One of my favorite stories to tell is I was working with the teenagers at the time, and after we'd got married, we'd gone on our honeymoon, we'd come back. And about the next week or second week after we got back off our honeymoon, I was visiting some teenagers, visiting this one particular girl, I can still tell you her name, and was visiting her, and went to their house, and her mom was there, and I was sitting down talking to them, and she looked at me, and she said, "You know something, Brother Marlin?" I said, "No, what?" She said, "I think you and Miss Susie would make a real cute couple." Hey, we'd been married now for about a month, okay? Do you know what I said? "You do? Well, I'll think about it. I'll think about it." And I don't remember how it was when she finally found out we were already married, all right? But she didn't know it. Why? Well, we were busy serving the Lord. We were busy serving the Lord. That priority would be there. We're to serve the Lord together, all right? I believe this with all my heart, with God's people. If we'll keep our relationship with the Lord right, it helps us to stay right with our spouse. We'll keep our relationship with the Lord right. I've always tried to teach and preach that as God's people, the closer a husband and wife will get to the Lord, the closer they'll be to each other. The closer they'll be to each other. But what happens is we begin to not maintain our relationship with the Lord. We let that slip, and when that slips, then our relationship with husband or wife begins to slip. But it ought to be a priority of, hey, we're going to serve God together. We're serving him together. Obedience to the word of God ought to be a priority. One of the things the Bible says, hey, man, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Love your wives. Isn't it amazing that God even had to put that in the Bible? But he did. Because sometimes we quit doing it. We don't do it. We ought to love our wives. It ought to be a priority in our life to maintain that. Why? This is my marriage. It's a priority. I don't want to go out having failed in that. What a disaster. Now, you may be sitting here and in your mind you're saying, "Preacher, yeah, that's true, but both people have to feel that way." I know it. Both people have to feel that way. But that's why I say all of these things, I believe, come together, there's a disaster in praying. Many people get married without really praying. Other than, Lord, this is the one I picked. It's okay with you, isn't it? That's the wrong prayer. It's the wrong prayer. The prayer ought to be, Lord, help me to find the right person. And Lord, smack me upside the head so I'll know it is the right person. Let me know it is the right person. Pray about it. Pray about it. Be careful in that process of picking. Well, I'm going to choose. Man, look at him. What a hunk. Or look at her. Boy, she's beautiful. There's more to it than that. You better dig a little deeper. I'll never forget going to youth camp at Silver State. And Brother Dan Allen, he would say, gentlemen, before you're wed, ascertain how you'll be fed. Said, delve into each pan and pot that your bride-to-be has got. Though her kisses please, what about her recipes? All right? And I remember hearing that, what married, I thought, sounds good to me, preacher. And we ought to consider that kind of thing, you know? There ought to be some consideration given than just, how do you look? Now, some of y'all have got stories, and I've heard some of them about getting married, and the wife couldn't cook, and she learned, and you were the guinea pig, all right? I was the guinea pig for my mother-in-law. Every time we'd go visit them, she'd bring out some new recipe. And one time she didn't tell me it had olives in it, and I hate olives. And so, but she's still my favorite mother-in-law, all right? Hey, we don't pick good because why? Well, we hadn't prayed about it. We hadn't prayed about it. Hey, we didn't really make preparation. Because we just have this idea of preparation or planning. Because we just have this idea, well, everything's going to work out. Everything will be perfect. Everything's going to... I'm in love. I'm in love. I've talked to some people. I've looked them in the eye and I say, you know, you really ought to rethink that. Oh, but I love them. Well, that's not... I've said this for years. That's not a good enough reason to get married. By itself. By itself. There ought to be more than that. Now, I realize that makes me a heretic in some eyes. But I don't believe just the fact that you say, well, I'm in love. Yeah. Yeah. But things change. Things change. Hey, listen, we fail. We make a disaster. And divorce is that disaster. Why? Well, we made a disaster in our planning and in our preparation for marriage. Hey, we made a disaster in the priority part, putting it as an absolute priority. Listen, you folks are here, you've been married for years. Keep it a priority. Keep it a priority. Don't think, well, we've been married, everything's all right. No, keep it a priority. Don't think, well, everything will be fine. No. Divorce is an absolute disaster. I believe that. But it's a disaster that many, many, many times, and I believe most times, could be avoided if some things had been done differently before the marriage. And then if you'd work at it after you're married, you can make things work. But there has to be some effort put into it. Effort put into it. Listen, God intended, I believe with all my heart, God intended for people. I believe God intended for us to be happy on this earth. I do. Now, I've heard preachers say God didn't intend that. I believe He did. I believe God made it so you and I could be happy and content on this earth. But not without doing what He says. Not without putting the effort in it. Not without going through what needed to be done, all right? Not without taking the steps. Not without putting in the work. If we don't do that, then don't be surprised if you have struggles and troubles. Hey, but plan for trouble, okay? Just plan. There'll be trouble. And that doesn't mean and that trouble is not always between the husband and wife, but trouble just comes. There's many of you sitting here, you could talk about what trouble there was in your life after you got married, what you had to overcome. The problems that came about, the trouble that developed. Not necessarily between husband and wife. I'm not talking about y'all wanting to kill each other, all right? I mean, problems came up. You never foresaw it. You never foresaw what would come. But man, I'll tell you, you got a plan. You got a plan. You got to prepare. You got to keep it a priority. Keep it a priority. I love to be able to celebrate with people and they say, hey, we've been married for this many years. We've been married for this many years. What a blessing. Hey, what a great testimony for the Lord that is to be able to say, we've been married this long. We've stayed together. That doesn't mean you've never argued. That doesn't mean there's never been a fuss, never been a disagreement. No, there have been. But you decided, you know what? We're going to maintain. The marriage is going to be a priority. We're going to keep it that way. Keep it that way. Don't get distracted raising children. Don't get distracted raising children where you forget about your marriage. Don't do that. Can I say this to you? Those of you with grandkids, don't get distracted with just the grandkids and forget about your marriage. Don't do that. God help us, all right? God help us to see this thing. Divorce is a disaster. It leaves nobody satisfied, nobody happy. It leaves scars in people's lives that stay there as long as you live. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen to you. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord. Help us see the truth of the Word of God. Lord, help us to understand that here we are as your child. We've served you. You've saved us. Lord, help us to realize marriage and successful marriages don't happen accidentally. It happens because we work at it. And Lord, help us do our dead level best to avoid the disaster of divorce, to avoid that. Lord, that we might focus on our relationship with you and with our spouse and maintain that relationship the way we should. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Would you stand tonight with me? We're going to have a verse of invitation. And hey, listen, if you walk the aisle tonight, it doesn't mean that we're going to look at you and say they're having trouble in their marriage. Because I realize with all my heart, boy, people deal with things. And it may be something longstanding. So if you need to use the altar tonight, use it. Would you do that? While we sing, would you do it? Would you come while we sing?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
God bless you. It's good to have you tonight. I'm glad you're here. It is a special day. It's Miss Linda's birthday. All right? It's her birthday, and Brother Marion didn't say a word about it, and she didn't, but you asked him not to, but you didn't ask me not to, so I can do it. Let's sing happy birthday, all right? Let's sing happy birthday to her. Okay? Here we go, all right?
Happy birthday to you.
Got a birthday this week? You do?
No, mine.
You forgot yours? Brother Marion did. When was your?
September the
2nd. Well, I think what you need to do is make him take you out, you know, for a hamburger, something like that. Not just out the door. I know how he thinks. But you tell him he needs to make it up to you, all right? And you think it's whose? Next week, all right. This Thursday, who's birthday?
This Thursday.
This Thursday,
some Thursday.
Brother Poe, it's his birthday. All right.
National Grandparents Day.
And it's National Grandparents Day. Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, what a blessing! Happy birthday to everybody. If you've ever had a birthday, you're ever planning to have one. Here we go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
We don't want you to be left. left out, all right? That'd be a terrible thing. Terrible thing. God bless you. It's good to have you tonight. Man, I hope you have a great week.
Amen.
You're dismissed.